It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, your host today. And today we're going to be taking a look at the book of 2 Peter. Going to be doing some verse-by-verse teaching from 2 Peter. Do you remember Simon Peter? He was the one disciple who was always getting his foot in his mouth. He's the guy that said, "I'll never deny you." He's the guy that went out walking on the water and sank. But yet he's the guy that God chose to preach the sermon on the day of Pentecost, the day the church was founded. God used Peter in a mighty way, and he left us two great epistles in the New Testament. And I'm looking today at 2 Peter, and he begins by saying, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours." Then Peter says in verse 2, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Now, in the time of Peter, they would always begin the letter by putting their name, so you knew who was writing to you. So he said, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ." Then he directs who he's talking to. He says, "To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours." So Peter's writing this letter to the church. This is family talk. And then he wishes them two things. Look what he says in verse 2. "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Boy, if you can wish somebody two things, that is certainly two great things to wish. First of all, grace, God's unmerited favor, God's ability to do for you what you cannot do yourself. And then he wished them peace, which is not the absence of trials or the absence of problems. It's God's assurance and calm in the midst of crisis. No matter what you're going through, you have that peace, that shalom, that tranquility to let you know everything's going to be okay. Now, in verse 3, Peter picks up with the heart of this letter. He says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." Now, the people at this time that Peter was writing this letter, they were facing some difficult storms. They were going through some persecution and trials. And Peter wants them to know that they've got what it takes inside of them right now to weather the storm. He says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him." See, there's many times the devil wants to make you think you don't have what it takes to live the Christian life. He wants to make you think you're inferior to everyone else and surely God can't use you. But Peter drives home the point here. You've got what it takes. God has already given it to you. It's inside of you. Everything we need for this life and for godliness through our knowledge of Him. He says, "who called us by His own glory and goodness." Now, you might be thinking today, "Keith, I know God called Peter. I mean, Jesus called him when he was walking along the seashore and said, 'Come and follow me.' But that doesn't apply to me." Oh, friend, it does. Jesus called you out of darkness, and He chose for you to be a part of this family of God. And He's given you the power and everything you'll ever need to live out the Christian life He's called you to live. In verse 4, He says, "Through these He has given us His very good and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." Through Him, He's given us these very great promises. Do you know, friend, there are over 7,000 promises that God gave you in His Word? He's promised to meet all your needs. He's promised to be there and hear you when you cry. And the Bible tells us here, He's given us these precious promises so that we can participate in His divine nature and escape the corruption of this world. See, He's talking here about righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, where it says, "God made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus." So God gave us these promises so that we could participate in his divine nature, so that we could be declared holy and righteous, not by our performance or what we do in this life, but by what Jesus did for us. Now he's telling us what God did for us, and now he moves on what we need to do for God. He says, for this very reason, verse 5, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. Are you getting this, the picture of what God wants us to manifest in our life? Have knowledge, goodness, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then love. All this, God says, add these to your faith, because faith without works is dead. And it's not enough to just say we're Christians, and it's not enough to just go to church. Add to that faith these things that Peter describes, which is goodness, knowledge, self-control, and most of all, love. Now look what Peter says in verse 8. He says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the church that the world wants to see, a productive church that is loving and kind. He's giving us here some things we can measure our faith against to see if we are really bearing fruit like Christ called us to do. God does not desire for us to be ineffective and unproductive, but he wants us to bear fruit. Paul writes about this in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, if we are in the vine, grafted with Christ, we should be bearing these fruit in our life. These things should happen. Jesus told us, said, they'll know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. I just watched the movie Bonhoeffer, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor during the Holocaust, he made a statement. He said, one act of obedience is better than 100 sermons. Wow. James put it this way in James 1:22. He says, be doers of the word and not just hearers. In verse 9, Peter continues. He said, but if anyone does not have them, speaking of the qualities he just mentioned that we're to have, like godliness, perseverance, self-control, and most of all, love. He says, if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. See, friends, it's so easy to become religious and you miss seeing the things that God really wants you to see. We can miss the hurting people. We can miss those around us that are desperate for the gospel that we have in our hearts. Oh, we can see the hymn books. We can see the Bible that we're reading that day. But being nearsighted means you miss those things that are in a distance. Sometimes we miss the hurting. And that's why Jesus tells us here, we have to make every effort to add these qualities to our faith. Now we come to our therefore verse today, verse 10. He says, therefore, my brothers, in other words, I've said all this to make my point. Now here's my point. Be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Now, what does that mean? I don't believe Peter is trying to get us to doubt our salvation here, because salvation doesn't come by works. But Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, we're saved by grace through faith and not by works. So Peter tells us here, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. He's not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. He's trying to get you to understand your salvation. Because once you realize that we are children of God, we then have a responsibility to the world to act the way Christians should act. See, an election, that's from God. That refers to God drawing you and I by the power of his Holy Spirit to become Christians and to be saved. And then when Paul says make every effort, he's talking about our part. Not anything that we can do to become saved, but what we do because we are saved. You see that, friend? It reminds me of the helmet of salvation in Ephesians chapter 6 when Paul is teaching on the armor of God. And he says you got to put on the helmet of salvation. That is the security of knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are God's child and that you are born again because of what Jesus did and not because of what you do. And it then becomes a helmet on your mind so that the enemy cannot constantly condemn you and accuse you and tell you you're not good enough. See, that's why Peter says, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. That's a powerful statement, friend. If we're living out our Christian faith, the enemy can't make you fall and stumble. One of the biggest jobs that the devil has is to attack your mind and try to convince you that you're not born again. But friend, God wants you to make it sure in your heart. He wants you to know beyond any doubt. I love what John wrote in 1 John 5 and verse 13. He said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. See, he's talking about what the same thing Peter says. Make your calling and election sure. Peter's giving us an encouragement here to be sure and know what God has done for us. You see, friend, as we see those qualities that Peter's talking about, virtue and knowledge, self-control, faith, godliness, love, when we see all those things in our life, then we know that we're becoming more Christ-like. We know that we've received eternal life because our flesh don't want to do that. These are not things you would do in the natural. But God changes us and conforms us to His image to be Christ-like, which is really what the word Christian means. And He winds up telling us there in this passage in verse 11 that we will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. That choral entrance, as F.B. Meyer calls it. The idea was a Roman conqueror coming into his city, being welcomed by singers and musicians who would join in a glorious, happy procession into the city. That's the kind of entrance that Peter's talking about when we come into heaven because we have received this wonderful salvation that Jesus gave us, the kind that changes us from being ordinary into being children of the Most High God. We're talking this week on Fresh Oil from a verse-by-verse teaching from the book of 2 Peter. And I believe Peter gives us some good words here for living. And remember, perhaps you're sitting at home today listening or listening as you're driving down the car and you might think, well, Keith, that's way beyond anything I could achieve. I could never live out those qualities that you read today. They're just not me, you might be thinking. Then you have to go back to verse 3. Where we began today when he said his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. God knew exactly what you would need, friend, and he gave you everything you would need through your faith in Jesus Christ and what you received when you received Christ as your Savior. God gave you everything you ever needed to live out the Christian life. I love the fact that God knows the end from the beginning. He starts at the beginning and then he backs all the way up to the beginning. So when God saved you, he equipped you with everything you'd ever need to live the life that you are living today. Oh, friend, God loves you today. Today we're just talking about making our calling and our election sure, understanding that we have received Christ and we've received from him everything we need to live out this Christian life. Hey, friend, I so appreciate you joining me every day here on Fresh Oil. It's such a delight to be able to come into your home or wherever you are today and share with you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, I'd love to hear from you this week. My email address is simply keithmanley@me.com. Go by our website at weneedgod.com. Let us know what station you're listening on. God bless you, friend. He loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.